Hello, and welcome to the Divorced Dadvocate, divorce support for dads, where we help dads create a healthy and less traumatic divorce. My name is Jude Sandoval, and I'm your host. I created this podcast and the Divorced Dadvocate community as a result of my own high conflict divorce, and because you as a dad deserve all the resources necessary to thrive through this challenging time. I encourage you to check out our website at thedivorcedadvocate.com, where there are resources that correspond to this episode, as well as free access to our membership community, where you will find live meetings, free workshops and courses, private discussion groups, and more. And now, on to this week's episode. Hello, and welcome to this show. Thank you for tuning in this week and listening. We are going to be talking about the top 10 ways mothers alienate children from their fathers during divorce, a topic that comes up all too frequently in pretty much every aspect of the work we do here at the Divorce Dadvocate. But before we jump in, let's welcome Andy and Eric to the community today. Divorce Dadvocate community. If you're not a member, come and check it out at thedivorcedadvocate.com. There are all kinds of resources, whether it's free to paid resources. There's an app, there's the divorce quiz, which helps you figure out where you're at in your divorce process compared to others who have gone through it. All kinds of resources. Check it out at thedivorcedadvocate.com and become a member. So the top 10 ways mothers alienate children from their fathers during divorce. And look, as you know, divorce is a tumultuous time for families, especially when children are involved. And while both parents may strive to prioritize the well-being of their children, sometimes dynamics can become strained, leading to one parent feeling alienated from their child. Unfortunately, it's not uncommon for mothers to intentionally alienate their children from their fathers during divorce proceedings. And here are the top 10 ways that this can happen. So I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying, because oftentimes this isn't something that just begins to happen during the divorce process. It may have subtle beginnings prior to that. So if you're listening to this and you are contemplating divorce, be aware of this because it may be exacerbated during the process. The first is negative talk, constantly speaking negatively about the father in front of the children, which plants a seed of doubt and resentment in the child's mind. And this can include criticizing his behavior, character, or decisions. An example would be during conversations with friends or family members. A mother consistently portrays the father in a negative light, describing him maybe as lazy, irresponsible, or uncaring. And this negative portrayal influences the child's perception of the father, causing them to doubt his love and commitment. Another example might be in front of the child. A mother frequently makes disparaging remarks about the father's character or behavior, such as criticizing his parenting skills or belittling his accomplishments. And this constant negativity creates a hostile environment for the child and undermines their relationship with the father. The second one is limiting contact, restricting or controlling your access to your children, whether through visitation schedules or communication channels, which creates distance and alienation. An example of this is a mother intentionally schedules extracurricular activities or play dates or appointments for the child during the father's visitation time, effectively reducing the amount of time that the child spends with you. Another one might be a mother moves to a different city or state with the child without consulting you or obtaining court approval, making it difficult for the father to maintain regular contact and involvement in your kiddo's life. This is something that I would like to point out is very often the case, which is that the mother may not follow the court orders. And what you have to do then is you actually have to go back. So I was this was something that was a realization for me, a difficult realization, is that if somebody doesn't want to follow what the court has ordered, then you actually have to spend the money to go back to court to force them to do that. And courts are very reluctant unless it's really egregious to hear these things and deal with these things. So it makes it very difficult and challenging in this particular case, but it's incredibly important to stay on top and in front of this, particularly when they start limiting the contact. Number three, interfering with visitation, making it difficult for fathers to spend time with the child by canceling visitation plans, showing up later, scheduling conflicting activities, which again undermines the father-child relationship. An example might be a mother frequently cancels the scheduled visitations at the last minute, citing minor inconveniences or scheduling conflicts as reasons for the cancellations. And this pattern of behavior disrupts the father's ability to maintain consistent and meaningful contact with the child. I highly recommend when this starts to happen that you start holding a line and setting your boundaries around making sure that this doesn't happen. Because if it happens once or twice and it happens in small circumstances, typically the pattern is that it becomes bigger and more egregious. Another example would be, despite having agreed upon visitation rights, a mother refuses to allow the father to spend time with the child, citing unfounded concerns about the child's safety or well-being while in the father's care. So again, set those boundaries and make sure to hold true to what the agreement is. And it's very easy to just cite the agreement that you both came to and make sure that that you do that before really trying to go off of the parenting plan and try to make different arrangements, et cetera. Try to get that consistent and ingrained in the schedule and a pattern with the kiddos before really trying to make variations. That's a really important thing, especially in the beginning stages during the divorce process and just post-divorce. Number four, using the child as a messenger. Involving the child in communication between parents, especially when it's about contentious issues, puts unnecessary pressure on the child and can foster resentment towards the father. An example of this is, instead of communicating directly with the father about co-parenting arrangements or scheduling issues, a mother instructs the child to deliver messages or relay information between the parents, putting unnecessary pressure on the child and involving them in adult conflicts. Another example is, a mother asks the child to deliver disparaging messages or insults to the father during exchanges or visitations, using the child as a means to express her negative feelings towards the father. Another thing to look out for is if you start to hear language from kids that is not necessarily age appropriate, or they start asking you questions about things that aren't necessarily age appropriate, that falls in line with these two examples as well. Number five, undermining authority. Disregarding or undermining the father's authority as a parent, such as openly contradicting his rules or decisions, diminishes his role in the child's eyes. An example of this is, in front of the child, a mother openly disregards or dismisses the father's rules or disciplinary actions, undermining his authority as a parent and sending the message that his decisions are not respected or valued. It's really important, and an easy way to make sure that you don't do this is to say something like, this is how we do things at daddy's house. You don't have to say anything bad about mom's house, but this is how we do things at dad's house. Another example of this undermining of authority is, a mother frequently overrides or counteracts the father's decisions regarding the child's upbringing or activities, making unilateral decisions without consulting or involving the father in the decision-making process. This can happen a lot with medical decisions in particular. So again, if this begins to happen in small things that you might not think are significant, make sure to nip that in the bud and hold true to that parenting plan. Again, really, really important in the beginning stages of divorce or just post-divorce, when you guys are starting to set your environment, or I should say create your environments at your respective houses, to make sure to hold a line on this. Number six is false allegations. making unfounded accusations of abuse or neglect against the father can not only damage his reputation, but also sow seeds of fear and distrust in the child's mind. This is incredibly important to get in front of if this begins to happen at just the moment's notice. I was just on a call this week with a guy who ex-wife has started to use language around this, and I recommended to him that he really needs to start documenting and covering his ass to make sure that he is prepared if this gets escalated or taken to the next level. An example of this is, in an attempt to gain sole custody or limit the father's visitation rights, a mother falsely accuses the father of domestic violence or child abuse, fabricating incidents or exaggerating minor disagreements to paint the father in a negative light. So just make sure, pay attention to this immediately. This is probably, you don't want to think that the person that you used to love or that you loved or you fell in love with or had a child with would ever do something like this, but I can't tell you the number of times that I see it. Example number two, a mother falsely claims that the father is unfit or incompetent as a parent, alleging neglect or irresponsible behavior without any evidence to support her claims. Again, just pay attention to this. You're allowed to live your life how you want to live your life, particularly when you don't have the kids and you are having a social life or doing what you want to do socially or leisurely. So just make sure to pay attention when this starts to come up or when you start to hear your kids say stuff about it. Number seven is emotional manipulation, using guilt, fear, or emotional manipulation tactics to turn the child against the father, such as suggesting that spending time with him will hurt the mother or implying that the father doesn't love the child enough. An example of this is a mother guilt trips the child into spending more time with her by implying that the father doesn't love them as much or doesn't want to see them, using emotional manipulation tactics to influence the child's behavior and decision. This is absolutely sick, but unfortunately, a lot of women with mental health issues, men and women, but we're talking in the case of mothers, women with mental health issues will do this because they're feeling some lack in their lives. I mean, who knows what the reason is other than mental illness issues. A second example would be during exchanges or visitations with the father, mother instills fear or anxiety in the child by suggesting that they will be unsafe or unhappy when in the father's care, manipulating the child's emotions to discourage them from wanting to spend time with the father. If you notice that your kiddo is particularly apprehensive or upset, and that's not to say that particularly in the beginning, kids will maybe get upset because they get used to, they're not used to the transition and how to figure out the transition from mom to dad. So you will see that particularly in younger kids where they might cry and say, oh, I miss mommy. Just know that they're doing the same thing at mommy's house when they transition from your house. You may just not hear about it, but that's pretty normal. But if you start hearing things like apprehension or worry or fear that they're exhibiting, that might be an indication for you to pay attention to the fact that there is some emotional manipulation going on. Number eight is creating loyalty conflicts. Pressuring the child to choose sides or making them feel guilty for wanting to spend time with the father can create loyalty conflicts that strain the parent-child relationship. An example of this is a mother puts pressure on the child to choose sides in parenting conflicts or disputes, making them feel guilty for wanting to spend time with the father or maintain a close relationship with him. Another example would be a mother encourages the child to express loyalty or allegiance to her by rewarding or praising them for siding with her opinions or decisions, creating a sense of loyalty, conflict, and emotional turmoil for the child. Again, this is just a telltale sign of significant mental illness, mental emotional issues on the part of a mother who does this. But it is often the time that I see this happening, and it's unfortunately something that children feel like they have to do in order to not have something, not have some sort of retribution taken out on them. So you might start to see this happen. Just know that if it does, your kiddos are not consciously choosing the your ex over you. They're simply trying to protect themselves. What will happen is they will start to do things that will appease the other parent, especially in these last two, emotional manipulation and creating loyalty conflicts, that they'll start to do things that will appease the other parent, the parent that is doing the alienating, so that they do not have to deal with the retribution that they know that they're going to face if they do not do it. So it's really sick and it's really messed up, but just know and understand that they're doing it to protect themselves. But you need to continue to pay attention to it. You need to continue to do whatever you need to do to communicate with them age dependently in order to understand what's happening with these two different things that are going on. So just stay on top of it, but also try not to take it personally, because it's really, really hard, because you might feel like they are taking sides or that they are acting out, but all they're doing is really trying to protect themselves. Number 9 is withholding information. Keeping important information about the father or his family from the child, such as photos or stories or updates, deprives the child of a complete picture of their identity and heritage. An example is a mother intentionally withholds information or updates about the father's life or activities from the child, such as photos, stories, or updates about the father's family or personal life, depriving them of the complete picture of their identity. Another one is, despite the father's efforts to maintain communication and involvement in the child's life, mother fails to inform the father about important events or milestones in the child's life, excluding him from significant moments and experiences. This might be a failure to let you know what's going on at school, or if kids' teeth fall out, or they have a significant award or something that happens during their time. Ideally, if two parents are co-parenting effectively, they're sharing these things and facilitating the ability for the kids to be communicating these exciting and fun milestones and things about what's happening on a regular basis with each of the parents. But if not, then this is definitely a telltale sign when they're not sharing that stuff. Finally, ignoring boundaries. I talked earlier and mostly through all this about setting boundaries in sticking to the parenting plan right off the bat. Disregarding boundaries set by the court or the father regarding communication, visitation, and decision-making regarding the child's upbringing demonstrates a lack of respect for the father's role as a parent. An example is, despite court-ordered visitation or custody agreements, mother repeatedly violates the agreed-upon schedule or refuses to adhere to the terms of the court order, disregarding the father's rights and undermining the legal framework for co-parenting. Another example is, a mother interferes with the father's communication or contact with the child by screening or blocking his calls, emails, or messages, preventing him from maintaining regular and meaningful contact with the child as outlined in the custody agreement. I would make sure, and this is probably good practice from the start as soon as things begin with the divorce process, is to document. We always talk on our group calls to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. And unfortunately, during the process, you might want to make sure that everything is going to go amicable, particularly just post-divorce and when you're trying to sort things out and get the kids used to the different environments. But you've got to be aware that you don't have any control over what's going to happen on the other side, and things can go drastically sideways and badly in a very short order. So make sure that you're documenting and paying attention. It is a tremendous amount of work, I understand, but there are a lot of great resources out there that will help you to do this documentation. And if you have all this documentation and some of this starts to happen, you'll be able to correlate it to the documentation that you have so that if there is a false allegation, or if you have to, on the flip side, if you have to go and you have to enforce part of the court orders, then you have all this documentation in place and ready at your disposal right away. It helps in particular in saving time and resources with attorneys as well. So to conclude, it's just incredibly important to note that these behaviors can have long-lasting effects on both the child and yourself. And children who are alienated from one parent often experience emotional distress, identity issues, and difficulties forming healthy relationships in the future. Additionally, alienating a child from their father deprives them of love, support, and guidance that both parents can provide. And as you hear me say all the time, there are things that only you can provide to your children as a father. As much as an ex or our society might want to think that a mother can do that, it is absolutely, positively not possible. I've said it before, I'll say it again, and I'll remind you now that the most important thing in your kiddo's life is your involvement. So make sure to stay involved. I know that you are if you're listening to this podcast. Please be aware of these 10 signs, the top 10 ways that mothers alienate children from their fathers during divorce. If you start to see those, take action, set boundaries. If you need help, get on one of our group calls, give me a call, and let's talk about how to make sure to nip that in the bud so that it doesn't snowball as quickly as it possibly can. Thanks so much for listening. I sincerely appreciate it. If you found some value in this, it would help us tremendously to continue to grow the Divorced Advocate community by sharing it on social media with a divorced dad that you know. If you could stop now and give us a star rating or leave a comment, even better, that would help tremendously. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic week and God bless. To hear the rest of this episode and access the corresponding resources, visit thedivorcedadvocate.com and become a member of our community. It's free to join and will provide you with the resources you deserve as a divorced or divorcing dad. Thank you for listening. God bless, and I'll talk with you next week.